Let us rise up tonight with a greater readiness. Let us stand with a greater determination. Let us move on in these powerful days. These days we challenge to make America what it ought to be. We've got some difficulties to see, but it really doesn't matter what we got. Because I can to myself, and I look over, and I see the promised land. I may not get married, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. I'm not born, I'm not living man, I'm a very living man. And I have seen the coding of the time of 1960, students all over the South started sitting in the North House. And I knew that if they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream. Taking the whole nation back to those 3 pounds of democracy, which were done big by the founding fathers. And the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. We've got some difficult days to see, but it really doesn't matter what we know. Because I've been to the mountaintop, and I'm looking over, I see the promised land.
Tuned of Martin Luther King on his speech, and yeah, it still amazes me that it took him to inspire people to realize, oh, shit is fucked up. You know, if there was no Martin Luther King, no one would have gotten off their asses to march. You know, I do.
Can I yeah. interject here? Because yeah. you made that point earlier in the show, and I wanted to make a point to it, but we kind of got caught up in the conversation.
Yeah.
History is littered with individuals who have led everybody else, either yeah. into tyranny or into freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what somebody else said to me last night, he's a conspiracy theorist like me, and he was very, very happy to see somebody else who knew 9/11 was an inside job and okay. knew the facts and figures and things of that nature or whatever.
All right.
And he said, yeah, but what can I do about it? And I said to him, look, bro, that mentality, what can I do about it, as if it's a rhetorical question, a question that does not require an answer, is the very reason why we're currently under the control of the few that control so much. When in reality, you are the one person in this world who can make the difference. You know, one individual is always the one who makes all the difference. Many individuals together, traditionally throughout revolutions, no more than 5% of a population in any given revolution, regardless of whether or not it's a revolution that winds up in a tyranny dictatorship or a revolution that winds up in a free society. No more than 1 out of 20 people have actually been involved in it and 95% of people would just sit back and let everything happen. The sheep will follow whichever shepherds you put in front of them. You just got to wonder, who are the shepherds that we are following now? Are they the ones that are leading us to greener pastures, or those who are leading us into a meat grinder?
Yeah, I mean, but this actually reminds me of a time when I was still on MySpace. Oof. They had a section where, you know, who's your hero? I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone remembers that, you know, hey, who are one of your heroes? And I put, fuck it, I'm my own hero. You know, because you really, I put that after you start realizing, you know, the illusion of who you look up to starts getting smashed by what they do. I mean, I at one time when I first started up, I looked up to Alex Jones. Now I think he's a scumbag. I thought Luke was a brother, you know, now he's a scumbag. You know, I was friends with a lot of other people, and it turns out a lot of them turned out to be scumbags, you know. And really, I mean, I keep trying to find this punk song. It's called "All My Heroes Are Dead." All my heroes are dead, you know. And really, it's just fuck it. It's really time to Sleepy's messaging me. Gun control, Louis. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah. Just want to answer that.
Could I segue this into the gun control?
I actually got this quote that I want to read from this book, The United States Constitution, A Graphic Adaptation, and just want to read this part, and we'll segue into guns. The Second Amendment, one that often sparks controversy, actually deals with two separate ideas: the militia and the right to bear arms. As we have seen before, there were police forces or a military. The militia was an institution in society. Its members organized to protect their farms and towns. They were not vigilantes. They were armed citizens with vested interest in their communities. What Americans and British subjects before them distrusted most were mercenaries, guns for hire with no community ties and no loyalty to them, anyone but those who paid them. They did not represent the people. To the anti-federalists, an armed people were a check on government power. They sought assurances the government would not put a mercenary force between itself and the people or take away their weapons if they did. Article the Fourth, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It says, if the First Amendment rights are not absolute, should the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms be? The Second Amendment delivers on both counts with its opening clause. It certifies that the militia is legitimate. It goes on to confirm that the people retain the right to possess and use firearms for self-defense, for hunting, game, for sport, as a bulwark against tyranny. In the militia's heyday, guns were a crucial part of daily life. Some states had laws requiring men to own guns. Virtually all the framers owned them. Militiamen had fought in the Revolution, and in the end, the 1792 U.S. Militia Act obliged men for 18 to 45 to enroll in their local militias. Still, there were always laws regulating the use of firearms, for example, ordinances against shooting them near barns or buildings. So, and I bring this up because, of course, no matter what you think about the whole Sandy Hook, whether it was a false flag or not, I don't know yet. I'm looking into that. It really sparked, you know, a lot of people saying, we need to ban all guns. We don't need guns. We have some Pierce Morgan who should be in jail for what he's done in his own country. He's hiding out here, and CNN is aiding and abetting a criminal, in my opinion, saying that, why do Americans need guns? People are dying from guns. And I'm sad to say, all I have are the cliche arguments. Like, look at Chicago. Chicago banned handguns. They're the highest murder capital in the city. You know, of course, you make these laws, you know, it doesn't stop the criminals. That's another cliche argument. And you know, they like, and the other side likes to shame, saying, oh, well, you know, oh, so you're a conspiracy nut because you think, you know, you want to have a gun to protect yourself from the evil government. Oh, you must be crazy. But it's in the Constitution. The point that I made before was, look, didn't we fight by we, I mean Americans, didn't we Americans fight back in the day against a tyrannical government to gain our freedom? Who's to say that can't happen again?
What I find interesting is going back onto that hero complex thing we're going is that, you know, we hold the founding fathers in such high esteem. And I find what happens is that you have other people as examples to follow, yet people just see them as examples and don't follow their principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this leads to a lot of disillusionment. Like if you get let down, and what I found is interesting is that a lot of people that I thought were my heroes throughout history, historical figures, you know, like you said, all their heroes are dead. Is that I find out later on that they weren't all roses and rainbow type characters. A lot of them were real scum, and I think that just because you're a bit of a scumbag doesn't mean you only do bad things. And what's interesting is the term disillusionment. A friend of mine was talking about this gun ban legislation on Facebook the other day, talking about how throughout history, every single culture that has enforced a gun ban has had the murder rate go up or the population be subsequently enslaved or exterminated. And his friend says, oh, you're just totally disillusioned. And he was like, bro, are you criticizing me by pointing out that I'm no longer operating under an illusion?
That's a good point. I mean the gun ban in New York especially, our governor signed a gun ban that limits the amount of bullets. Like, okay, so you got less bullets, so that's just gonna force me to better my aim so that way I save on ammo.
Lily, can you recall a place in America or any other that has passed a gun ban where the murder rate hasn't subsequently skyrocketed?
Well, yeah, Chicago. I had mentioned that before. Chicago, Illinois. I mean, more children are dying than what that were killed or allegedly killed in Sandy Hook, Connecticut.
Yeah.
I mean, in New York, the amount of bullets you can have in your gun, which in New York City, forget about even getting a gun. A handgun takes a better part of a year and $2,000 in legal fees, $2,000 or more in legal fees. I know, I'm trying to get my gun license as a security officer. It's $2,000 plus $600, and then you still gotta buy the gun, and you know every year you gotta be recertified.
Isn't that funny? How you run yourself broke.
Yeah.
Just so that you can prevent yourself from getting mugged.
Yeah, what's the point? And you want to know what's the funny thing? I've never had a gun pulled out on me, but I've had a knife pulled out on me. In fact, a few years ago, I had to defend myself barehanded. Well, at the time I had a cane, but I was able to use that, you know, against someone with a knife.
Well, what's funny is what I find interesting, real interesting, is that, look, what do they do? They made controlled substances like narcotics, hallucinogens, opiates, and barbiturates illegal, right? But we have a massive problem with huge drug trafficking in this country. Criminals, okay, the criminal element will always find a way to acquire these things. That nutcase, that these nut jobs who go in and go in these mass murder sprees, they don't register their weapons with the government. They don't go to a Walmart and pick up these weapons. They acquire these weapons illegally.
Not in the case of Taylor Lautner and the Aurora shooter. They got their guns legally. What happened was they ignored the law about mental defect, and they were allowed to get it. In fact, the warnings that were put in place, the laws that were already on the books to put in place to prevent this from happening, were not followed. Yet they take it out on legal citizens, law-abiding citizens that have done it the legal way.
Let me get this straight. Because somebody broke the law, you don't punish that person who broke the existing law. You change the existing law to prevent people from breaking it, which they broke in the first place, which they wouldn't have not broken even if the law was different.
You got me cross-eyed. You got me like freaking cross-eyed here. How the hell did you form that sentence, man?
Yeah, I do that a lot. You're talking earlier about the Second Amendment being a bulwark against invasion,
mm-hmm.
That reminded me of the Japanese admiral who attacked Pearl Harbor. He said it would be madness to attack the continental U.S. because we'd have a gun pointed at us from behind every blade of grass.
Look at this situation. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that they're talking about banning guns and putting such a tighter control on guns. They don't realize that these nutcases, criminal nutcases, are now going to start getting more creative. Now they're going to start using household chemicals, okay, household cleaners and shit, to basically put that together and create explosives like C4 grade explosives. So what are they going to do now? You can't go buy Windex anymore. You can't go buy bleach Clorox anymore. You can't go buy. I mean, what do you want us to do? We're gonna have to start with orange peels or something.
Let's ban Crisco too while we're at it.
Hey, easy. How we're gonna get the fucking flavor in the food? Goddamn kiwis, son of fuck! Don't give them any other. Don't give them any fucking ideas.
There was a mama joke I heard way back in the day. It's like, your mama's so fat, when she broke her leg, Crisco came out.
Well, actually, it's your mama's so fat, when she sweats, she sweats Crisco.
Yes, and when she broke her leg, gravy came out.
Of course, your mama's so fat, chocolate milk comes out her titties. Yeah, okay, on and on. Moving on! But, I mean, it's just they limit the bullets. And, I mean, Pierce Morgan had these two ladies on. I wish I should have downloaded the audio. But he had these two ladies on, and they were all pro-gun. And one of the ladies made the point, like, look, there was this news report where this gentleman was being attacked by multiple people, and he didn't have enough bullets to defend himself. Because of the limitations that were already in place.
This is the very point. And there's a great documentary that one of my friends, who is the treasurer of the New Zealand Deer Stalkers Association, he has a number of weapons.
Deer stalkers?
Deer stalkers, like people who hunt deer, right?
Oh, okay. I thought they follow them, see where they go to work. It's like, I'm watching you, deer.
Yeah.
What you wearing, deer? Just start stalking deer. Yeah. Just hide behind a blade of grass and start watching them while they shit in the woods. Deer stalkers. Okay, go ahead.
Call their cell phones in the middle of the night in the middle of the bush. Anyway.
Yeah. Just start breathing heavy, like okay.
Just two rings and hang up usually.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Anyway, well, what I was gonna say, and I wanted to illustrate this point, because this is the undeniable fact. And I tried to touch on it before about how when you ban guns the murder rate goes up, but it's actually much deeper than that. And you can have a look at a number of different examples. Earliest example that I can really think of off the top of my head that I even know anything about is England, under Edward the Longshanks, banned swords and crossbows and bows of really any kind for the Scots. And this is the reason why the revolution was fought with William Wallace. So banning weapons foments revolutions. And also, banning weapons means that you are attacking and enslaving and trying to prevent a population from being able to fight back against their oppression. Then, even in Turkey, they banned guns for Armenians and said, hand in your guns and you will be set free and we won't oppress you anymore. And then they handed them their guns, and then they took their guns off them and then shot them in the head. They then weren't being trusted enough to come in personally and hand in the guns. So they said to the wives of these men who were fighters, hand in your husband's guns and we'll give you food for your family. So the wife would bring the guns and their children to hand in the guns and then take the food back. They would take the guns and then shoot them in the head. They killed 1.1 million Armenians.
Yeah, I mean,
Stalin banned guns in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Then he confiscated all of their food stocks, all of their grains. This is on the wealthiest, most fertile land ever. And 7 million plus people starved to death inside of a year, much larger than the Holocaust. And it was said at that time that the most terrifying thing to behold in the Ukraine was somebody who had flesh on their bones, because
right.
You knew that they were eating human flesh.
Wow.
And the Indians, under the British rule, had weapons banned, and when assault tax was introduced, this is what Gandhi actually really used as an instigation for the revolution. People had nothing to fight back against. In South Africa, it was illegal for the blacks to own guns, and they were always getting beaten up and shot in the back running away by the police and military. In Nazi Germany, the last people to be legislated against to lose their rights were gun owners. As soon as the gun owners turned in their guns, that's when the Holocaust began. And it is the exact same story every single time. Anytime anybody tries to ban weapons in any way, that population gets subsequently enslaved and or exterminated. It's inescapable, unarguable, unavoidable. They don't want people to know this.
So then here's
the
question. When
people watch that documentary, it's on YouTube, Innocence Betrayed. It's real eye-opener.
So here's the question then. They passed these procedures, and the real question then becomes, when will it be our turn?
I think it's your turn now. Obama's signing it by executive order. People are buying up guns like there's no tomorrow, so I hear. I think it's coming right now.
When is it set to go into effect?
Does it matter? The fact is they're doing it, and it's happening right now. What I dislike about people when they ask the when is this going to happen is that it's often because they're waiting to act, whereas the time to act is now.
Yesterday would have been better.
Yes, completely right.
So what I'm asking, the reason I'm asking is I want to go purchase an assault rifle before it becomes illegal, but
because there's already a gun bubble. ARs have been tripling in price. They're doing extensive background checks already. I mean, it's too late. I'm sorry. I mean, it kind of sucks for me, too, because Me and a couple other folks were considering some things, but it's too late. I mean, you should have done it before. If you haven't, either through some fault of your own or through no fault of your own, as is the case with me and a couple other people, it's too late. Now, the good news is that it very well may happen that maybe nothing apocalyptic or, dare shall I say, revolutionary, quote-unquote, can happen or would happen. And it may just be like the bubble that happened last year in December or the Obama gun scare 2009 bubble that not a lot of people seem to have conveniently forgotten about. So this is at least the third one, if not fourth, but maybe I'm missing a year or so. Mm-hmm. So what I would recommend for you is don't buy anything. Don't waste your money. And worst-case scenario happens, you know, study guerrilla warfare. Best case scenario, the bubble goes down and then the prices stabilize, and I would suggest you also get a firearms blue book. If you haven't already, so you can start studying market prices. When the prices have stabilized, give it like 6 months to a year or thereabouts, but once the price has stabilized, then do your comparison shopping, do your due diligence, and then pick your items and your most important ones and go there. But this is absolutely an awful time. There have been various firearms manufacturers where orders are back ordered by 7 months.
Yeah.
And that's for parts, not the entire package. So this is a horrible time to buy right now.
Yeah, excuse me, gentlemen. Two things. Before Pat wants to give his opinion, but Christy asks, Vinny, after Pat, why don't you tell us about the gun rights in New Zealand?
Yeah, we really don't have a whole lot of gun rights in New Zealand. We're restricted to 10 clip mags already in order to own any weapon of any kind that shoots projectiles. You have to have a safe that is at least 3 inches thick steel that is bolted to the floor and to the wall. How many people who are living in rental properties do you think own guns in this country?
Probably zero.
We do not have a home is his castle principle. If somebody comes into your house and you shoot them because they invaded your house and were trying to rob you or something of that nature, you go down for manslaughter.
Wow, so I could come into your house and start watching your cable and start watching some Cinemax and, start playing myself. Anyways, Pat,
can I finish? I just want to finish on that as well.
All right.
Because the proviso is on the home is your castle principle is that you have to say to the police officer who's about to arrest you for manslaughter, I felt my life was in danger. You have to say those exact words. Otherwise, you wind up going to jail. If you thought your life was in danger and you say those exact words, then you have a self-defense argument and you're allowed to still remain free. If not, you wind up going to jail, even if your life was in danger and you felt life was in danger if you forget to say those words.
That's similar in New York because if you're even if you're empty-handed, you could only beat the crap out of someone enough so that way you could run away. You can't stay, even if they're trying to kill you, you can't stand and use the same amount of force. I mean, this is what they teach you in security officer school. You could only do enough. You're not a police officer. You can't arrest anyone. You can only do citizen's arrest, but that's probably not what your employer will want, but you can only do enough to get away. You can't,
That's true here as well. We have the equalization of force principle. If somebody attacks you with a knife, you're not allowed to pull a gun on them. You're only allowed to pull a knife on them to defend yourself.
You're not even, in New York City, you're not even allowed to carry a knife. You can't carry any type of weapon on you. So I mean, so like I said, I've had knives pulled out on me, and it's just luckily it's just by pure luck, honestly.
One of my friends illegally carries a switchblade and illegally carries a pellet gun pistol that is cock action, just in case.
Does he wear a
somebody actually tries to
a leather jacket?
No, he kept it in his backpack.
Ah.
And you know what was interesting is that he's never used them, not once, and he would never use them to commit a crime. He would only use them for self-defense. And for him to have something of that nature for self-defense in that very, very rare possible occasion where you would need it, he'd be committing a crime. In fact, he's committing a crime every time he leaves his house with those in his backpack.
Yeah, I mean, it's really ridiculous that, you know, the laws make you either you die or you go to jail.
Hey, I also wanted to address the learn guerrilla tactics thing. You know what really, really scares the hell out of troops? Snipers.
Oh.
You don't need an assault rifle in order to take out a lot of people. You have a look at, say, the Battle of Stalingrad, who specifically targeted officers and sniping them all the time. They're terrified. Absolutely terrified, because there's no fracking defense. You can't see them coming. And unless they fire twice from the same location, you don't know where the bullet track came from either. So if you fire once, get a headshot, then move position and fire again, you're still in cover. And it's a very, very extraordinarily good tactic. So if they're running out of AR-15s, my recommendation from a military tactic point of view would be a long rifle of really in any kind you can get. Higher caliber, the better. But ultimately, you don't need a whole lot of rounds per clip because you're going to be firing from a long way off.
All right, then. Anyways, Patrick, you want to say something?
Yeah, like, I want to talk about this gun issue. Like, I'm pro-gun. I think people should be allowed to have guns to defend themselves. I agree with the whole point that, like, if you make guns illegal, the criminals are still going to find a way to get guns.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, like, what's going on, like, when you have Alex Jones going on Piers Morgan and making a complete fool out of himself, you gotta like, like that guy isn't really on the side of guns. That guy, like, I swear to God, that guy is going on that show trying to make anyone who's pro-gun look like a raving lunatic, conspiracy theorist, blah blah blah, whatever you want to call it.
So
the irony is, anybody who's listened to the Alex Jones show for any extended period of time knows that he does get like that periodically.
Yeah.
And something he did mention, and I think this is actually a self-evident truth, is that if you calmly explain to people that they're about to be killed, they don't get it.
Right.
If you scream it at them, on the other hand, even though they might initially think you're nuts, somewhere down the track, they wake up because of the shock and the trauma of it. And nobody can deny he's woken up more people in this movement than any other single figure. And I think it's partly because of that tactic. I mean, is America not all about shock and awe?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's like they want to control the opposition. You know, like it's like the Hegelian dialectic, and they want to control the people who oppose them to controlling the people who are pro-establishment. And so they put people who are supposedly anti-establishment out there and make them famous through their mainstream networks. Like if he was a real person, CNN and all those mainstream news shows would never let him on. But the fact they let him on to make himself look like a dumbass and make himself look crazy and make people who follow him look crazy. And that's the whole point of it. It's all like propaganda, and he's totally part of it. And he's, you know, and
Could I interject something here? because a journalist named Alistair Bone traveled 200 kilometers to come see me and interview me and watch me do a radio show, and did a 2.5-page spread on me in a mainstream newspaper. Does that mean I'm working for the opposition? Because if you, as soon as you get me any kind of mainstream recognition, you're automatically a disinfo agent who's part of the establishment?
I would say you are.
Well, I honestly, Vincent's got a good point here. That sounds kind of arbitrary. Pat, something I just want to mention is that I think a lot of people are concerned about AJ's theatrical performance. Let's call it what it is. But I would say on the good news side of it, look at two other interviews that Piers Morgan did regarding the gun control issue. Look at the interview, and it's on YouTube, and it's for all the listeners. Go to YouTube either now or later, and type in the keywords for Piers Morgan, and then add Larry Pratt, that interview, and watch how Larry Pratt behaves. Also watch the other one that Piers Morgan did with a Marine. His name is Joshua Boston. Joshua Boston. Look for those two interviews Piers Morgan did with Joshua Boston and Larry Pratt. Larry Pratt and Joshua Boston handled themselves pretty close to about as perfectly as you can get, diplomatically speaking. They were calm. They were reasoned. Sure, Vincent, the whole shock and awe propaganda method can have its but there's a seat.
And also, let's not forget that he's a Texan. And they have their own particular brand of charm.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've read somewhere that Texas is totally opposing this this ban, and also opposing the limitation of the bullets, and that if any federal agent tries to arrest someone, that the local police will arrest that federal agent.
Sorry, can you repeat that, Louie?
Texas has threatened that if any federal agent tries to arrest anyone that violates the president's bullet ban or the assault rifle ban, that the local police will arrest that federal agent.
Hmm. That reminds me of something Christopher Green told me from Greenwave Radio. He was thinking about moving from Arizona to Texas for precisely reasons like this. It really is the Lone Star State. It really is the, well, I think if you were to classify what it is to have the quote-unquote American spirit in terms of close to the Revolution and the Founding Fathers as you can get, it appears to me as though Texas is really the center of it all. And what is it about Texas where that mentality has survived so strongly, whereas other states have waned?
It was its own country. It won the Texas Revolution in 1835 and 36 against Santa Anna when he violated the Mexican Constitution and started sacking all the different Mexican states. And at that time, Texas and Coahuila is now part of Mexico, but Texas and Coahuila were the same state at one point. And so when Santa Anna went raping and killing and pillaging, and oh, by the way, for anyone who wants to study the Texas Revolution, please, please, please study the Battle of Zacatecas. That was the equivalent. That was the real Alamo, by the way. That was a big, big deal. Also study the Zacatecas militia and what they did wrong, and so we don't copy that. But basically, to answer your question, Vincent, it's because Texas had its own revolution and was its own country for about a decade before it was annexed into the United States. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that's the simplest, most concise way to put it. You look at any of the other 49 states in what I think is a highly overrated union, and you don't really see that anywhere else.
May I ask, to clarify, usually after 100 years or so, people forget entirely unless there is some part of an educational program or cultural days of remembrance in order to keep the memory of such things alive. Is there part of the Texas State School curriculum where it specifically teaches about the Texas Revolution, I wonder?
I would point, in that case, while there is some level of proof of that, I would instead like to point you towards the Texas Homeschool Association. They have been battling the legally, not physically, of course, the Texas state government, who have been trying for at least since, oh gosh, what is it, 20, 30 years now? It's a long time, still do, trying to put their coercive hand in every Texan household. And fortunately, THSC has done a wonderful job. But you ask about why is there such a, I guess you could say, a cultural heritage that's uniquely Texan. I would say it's because of homeschoolers as well as other cultural elements it's like a different country here. And I should know because I live here. It's really its own deal. And to put it another way, there's a couple of cutesy pride phrases that some people have pointed out. For example, United States, Texas can go without the United States, but the United States can't make it without Texas.
Now this also reminds me of James Wright. His hometown is Dallas, and he said that Dallas smells of oil. Right, you can smell the oil in the air from all the oil fields. Is that why Texas has maintained much of its independent spirit? Because they are simply not economically dependent upon the central government and its economic strategies for the United States as a whole?
That's part of the reason. I mean, to be fair, we're supposed to be talking about gun control, but to briefly sum up, there are many, many reasons, both historically, culturally, and I would also like to add in one element that people don't really take into account, which I think you were alluding to a little bit, which is economically. For example, we here in Texas have our own power grid. There's a lot of other aspects. Yeah, you could say a little bit about oil and a few other things, but, you know, there's also a lot of high-tech companies here, especially right here in the capital, right here in Austin. There's a lot of elements where, and yeah, I mean, some people make noise about secession, but that's really kind of a diversion. The point is that Texas has a very healthy cultural identity. Sometimes it can get skewed, sure, but it's very much of a libertarian bent. It's very much about self-government, very much about limited government, very much about what the founders want. In fact, we here in Texas have our own founding fathers, such as Sam Houston and Jim Bowie and Stephen Austin and so forth. So there's a very strong tradition of liberty here.
Can I also ask for clarification? It appears nationalistic in nature. Is there a culture in Texas that Texas is really its own nation, and do they not really consider themselves as Texans part of the America? They consider themselves Texans in a greater sense.
Well, what about, I mean, you guys are talking about an independent a spirit of independence and self-sufficient or self-free agency. What about all the laws and the state constitution of New Hampshire? They have pretty liberal gun laws over there themselves. Not to mention they allow a lot more latitude towards small businesses and small market economics than any other state does.
Yeah, but I doubt anybody's really ever complained about
states.
I doubt anybody's ever really ever kind of been taken aback about the forcefulness and the extremeness of New Hampshireites as they do with Texans.
That's true. I agree with that.
Well,
when you hear Texas, you think of it, rawr! And when you hear New Hampshire, it's like, rawr!
Well, obviously there are iconic images and so forth, but obviously the reality is very different. I mean, generally speaking, a lot of people here are pretty much mainline Americans, what would be referred to as the term I don't like, which is sheeple. Unfortunately, but of course, just like anywhere else in the United States, the more rural you get, the more that, I don't want to say old school, but that more of that notion, a serious understanding of liberty takes place. Not
well,
always true.
Exactly. That's the point I was going to make. Yeah, you're on your own, and then all of a sudden somebody tries to tell you, well, what you've been doing for years is not wrong, you'd think, who the fuck are you to be telling me what to do? And you're more inclined to, like, just fight back or just not even listen to that person. It's like, well, you're never here. You don't do nothing for me, and yet you're going to tell me how to live my life? Yeah, eat a dick, you know?
Yeah, like, you didn't help me build that bridge across the river, boy. You didn't help me move my cows anywhere. You're coming onto my land. You're trying to take my fucking corn. Fuck you.
Let's not forget that urbanization in Texas really didn't happen until, I don't know, maybe after World War II. Because until then, you had pretty much street justice. You know, everyone was carrying a weapon. It was a way of life, just like you're saying. Now you're saying, oh, we're gonna take your guns away. And every single person in Texas, their firearm has become a third appendage, basically. It has become a literal arm. Like, they don't go anywhere without that weapon. They may forget to wear their underwear, and they certainly do sometimes forget to wear their deodorant, no offense, but they will never forget their guns at home.
Yeah, but then again,
it's part of their identity.
And even if it's not, it's just a tool. It's just a tool. It's like a car, any other invention that the free market, the legitimate free market, actually produces that have actually made all of our lives better, and even our parents' lives better, you know, beforehand. I mean, a lot of people didn't have refrigeration. Refrigeration as a technological innovation was really kind of a linchpin that opened up a lot of things. The same could be said for firearms and automobiles, and I would also say computers, which is what we're using right now.
And also, the
most important thing about refrigeration is that modern Texas would not exist without air conditioning.
Boom. Anyways, and also let's keep in mind that really, if it wasn't for guns, none of us would be here. Because they would, if it wasn't for guns, they wouldn't. We wouldn't have won World War II. And depending on what you believe, I mean, we would have gotten taken over by someone, and literally none of us would be here right now. None of us would be talking on the radio. Because either we wouldn't exist, or it would just be a whole different world.
Now, Louis, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying there, and I wanted to add this, mm-hmm. is that basically the only reason why the human race still is in possession of weapons is that we're not perfect yet. There are still scumbags out there who will hurt you.
Exactly.
And it's best to not be defenseless. You could be very hopeful and very naive and think that nobody's going to hurt you or exterminate you or enslave you, but that's just not the case, not yet.
Well,
maybe one day when the whole world is holding hands and we're singing fucking Kumbaya around a goddamn campfire,
I like
maybe
that song.
Then we'll all get rid of our weapons, but not yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's this saying, hope for peace, prepare for war. I mean, and that's, unfortunately, that's the nature of the scenario. I mean, every time you walk out that door, you gotta think, is this the day where some scumbag is going to come into my job and open fire? Is this the day some scumbag is going to try to push me into the subway tracks? Is this the day where I'm going to have to fight for my life and protect myself or somebody else I care about? And you always, you got to keep that in the back of your mind. Like, okay, if I do this, I mean, this is like last week when we were discussing rape culture. I mean, you gotta keep your head to you. You gotta see, you know, you gotta have these, you gotta think of these constant scenarios where if you go into a certain situation or certain decisions that you make, is it gonna cause harm to you or is going to attract a certain bad element to you? So it's like Vinny said, we're not in Shangri-La yet. This is not
something that reminds me of what Jack Blood told me. Mm-hmm. There's no utopia.
Exactly. There is, and there never will be. What do you guys think of going overtime?
I won't be able to. My girlfriend's really tired, and so am I, and she just wants to kind of watch a movie, and she can't do this and share the same internet connection while I'm on radio, so she'd be pretty pissed if I went in overtime, man.
Alrighty, so, yeah, just putting it out there, because we got, like, 9 minutes left, and a point that I want to bring up, the NRA actually came up with a commercial criticizing the president. He used children when he was signing the executive orders on Wednesday, and the NRA came out calling him a hypocrite, saying, hey, you have your kids protected by guns. And again, I have to refer to this Martin Luther King documentary I saw last night. He was getting death threats, and the threats were real. In fact, he was stabbed by a black woman when he was signing books in Harlem. So, I mean, there were people actually gunning for him, and he and his aides were, like, begging him to carry weapons to protect his life that was obviously in danger. And he made sure that they didn't carry no type of weapons.
Mm. So I'd like to add on to that, particularly within the black community. There's a great book, something about Tupac Shakur, the suppression of black leaders, and something like that. But the instance that I wanted to talk about is actually the Black Panthers, who were a militant African-American organization. And what I found most interesting in this part of the documentary is that the police were always gunning for the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers never pulled guns on police unless the police were beating up a black person who was innocent, and then they'd suddenly turn up with all their weapons, point them at the cops and say, stop beating that innocent person. And the cops would stop, and not a shot would be fired.
Well, the thing is, I mean, we also got to keep in mind the Black Panthers were infiltrated by the CIA and given the weapons, and, you know, COINTELPRO. That's
exactly. It was one of the progenitors of it. Tupac's uncle. This is another interesting part of the documentary.
The Black Panthers were a peaceful organization. In fact, in New York City, they worked with a Puerto Rican group and the white group of the Young Lords, the Puerto Rican group, and the Sons of Liberty to help build community programs to help feed children and get things done. And of course,
Like anybody who's successful at freeing repressed minorities, they get targeted by the government and authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the worst things, stories I've heard out of that entire ordeal was, I think it was Tupac's uncle, he was staying at his friend's place because the cops were gunning for him at his own house. So he stayed at his mate's place, and they slept on the floor, and they were woken up by the entire front of the house being riddled with bullets. I think there was like 30, 40 cops outside, and they just shot up the whole house. Didn't even say come out or anything, just started shooting. And because they were lying on the floor, they didn't get hit. And then they said, if there's anybody still alive in there, you know, shoot first, ask people to come out innocently later, come out now. And Tupac's uncle stripped down to his bare ass, totally naked, all right? And he said to his friend, you come out naked too, otherwise they'll say that you had a gun on you or something like that, and they'll shoot you. And so he came out buck naked, 40 guns trained on him, not a shot fired. Friend didn't listen to him. He came out wearing his pants, and they shot and killed him.
Tupac's mom was a Black Panther, and when she was arrested, she was in jail, and she's afraid that she's going to give birth to Tupac while she was in jail, and he would be put in, like, the foster home program and stuff. And a miracle happened, and she was released from jail, you know, like, months before he was born. Well, what, in my opinion, what really happened was they made a deal with her to make Tupac one of their MKUltra slaves. Hip-hop stars, and he was all about programming the black people to follow the New World Order and all that.
The gangster culture, that's right, and he was co-opted into that, and then later tried to undo what he did. In fact, he was central to brokering a peace treaty between the Bloods and the Crips, and he was assassinated before being able to complete the deal, and the war continues today.
And it keeps
them all fighting with each other so that the government can just keep control of it. You know, it's just strange, same old divide and conquer, COINTELPRO, the whole way through Black American history. It's really disgusting.
Yeah,
they murdered him in front of the Luxor, which is a pyramid in Las Vegas, which is, you know, like a pyramid hotel, like Black Pyramid Hotel with the light shining out of the top of it. That's where he got...
And then made calls to rival gangs on East Coast and West Coast, saying it was him that shot him, or it was him that attacked him, and then we defended ourselves and things like that. And they fomented an even bigger war when it was just the fracking government, these fracking scumbags who don't give a frack about anybody else but power and corruption and scumbagery.
What they do before they assassinate someone is they bring them down in the public eye. Like, they were accusing Tupac of molesting and raping this girl, and they sent him to jail for a number of years. And while he was in jail, people were coming up to him telling him about the Illuminati, and you've been set up, and, like, the Illuminati this and that. And he didn't believe any of that. He thought the Illuminati was just an excuse for you not to go out there and make money. And that's why he created this album called Kill Illuminati. And, yeah, then they pretty much killed him right before that album came out. And, yeah, the rest is history, I guess. I don't know.
All right. So, anyways, like to get everyone's final statements. Let's start with Sleepy. Sleepy, you wanna say something about the subject before we close out the show?
Yeah, sure. Gun control is not really about guns. It's about control of people.
Control, yeah.
Yeah, it's control of people.
Gun control isn't about guns. It's about control.
Yeah, exactly.
or people control, if you want to put it that way. And whenever you get rid of the tools that people need to defend themselves with, you're paving the way for democide, which is death by government. And democide is the leading natural cause of unnatural death amongst human beings. Now, considering that, there's also, now, unfortunately, I hate to criticize some of the folks on our side, but, well, here goes. The problem with arguing about so-called gun rights, think of it this way. Gun rights advocates say that laws don't prevent criminals from obtaining a firearm if they really want one. Great. Then by that logic, laws don't prevent tyrants from trampling your rights. Since that is, in fact, the case, why are the guns rights advocates always screaming for laws to be retracted or put into place to ensure their right of ownership? If a law cannot prevent a criminal from obtaining a firearm, then the law cannot prevent you from obtaining one or otherwise grant you the ability to have one. So why do gun rights advocates insist on the reinstatement of law? Most likely, they either do not understand what the law is, or worse, it is because, this is the key point, it is because they don't have any intention of ever using their firearms. It's much easier to say, please, Daddy, give me an okay to do, fill in the blank. If Daddy says no, they pout and wail, but that's all they're going to do. Now they have an excuse to be a coward. And since most people believe in the illusion of laws, and really I'm talking about statutes, not proper law, our society is rife with cowards masquerading as patriots, nationalists, activists, rebels, revolutionaries, and other words that should only be reserved for real men and brave women. Put another way, it's not the tools that's to be controlled. What they're trying to do is control how you think and how you act and what your attitude is. What we need, more than anything else, is a reinstatement of the virtue of courage among all political dissidents who are serious about securing their liberties.
Mm-hmm. Unless all right. Add on to that, the international
go ahead, Vinny. What's your final say?
Okay, and I want to make this quick because we're already going over time.
Yeah.
The UN. Let's not forget about them. Let's not forget about the big magnum that's in the front of the UN building that is tied in a knot. They are behind gun control all over the world. They are behind the world government that wants to disarm the planet. It is not just the Americans that will suffer from gun control. But that said, if America falls, if the last bastion of freedom, of self-defense, of liberty dies, this world dies with it. So I want to encourage and remind all the Americans, regardless of what state you live in, regardless of if you're an expat or living in other countries, I may be 10,000 clicks from you in New Zealand, but I'm behind you 100%. And I had a conversation with a number of other New Zealanders today for which that mentality that I just expressed is also in the forefront of their minds. Fight, and we will come to your aid.
All right. Who's next? Who's calling from Texas? James.
Yeah, I'm here.
You want to say anything?
No. I'll tell you what, though. This makes me want to write an article here pretty soon, so I'm going to go ahead and put something together and tie this into first principles, because I'll tell you, without those, we're all lost.
Okay, then. All right, who's calling from North Dakota? Patrick.
Yeah, I would just say study propaganda, how they manipulate you. Learn to think for yourself and avoid all these. Like, learn about propaganda and public relations and how they try and influence your thoughts and try and claim your own thoughts for yourself. And that's basically all you can do. And fuck Louis V.
Oh, well, fuck you too, Sue. Fucking Pat. Fucking hate Pat sometimes. Say a fucking wise ass. Anyways, who's calling from Cali again? Okay, who's calling from California?
Fuck, I don't know what it would show up on my Skype number. That's probably
yes, you, Mike. You, fuck's sake.
Yeah, thanks very much. Anyway, when there are unjust laws, it's necessary to break them. Everybody needs to purchase a disobey T-shirt with Gandhi's face right on it.
Alrighty then.
Disobedience is the way to go. That's the new world order. Disobey their laws.
I'd like to close off to encapsulate that, because you mentioned Martin Luther King a number of times. His famous quote was, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Thank you very much, everybody. I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show. Just Google me up on American Freedom Radio, and we'll see you again sometime.
With Will! So, anyways.
No, there's no Will.
No Will!
I broke his Will.
Oh. Will's decomposing in Australia. He got sent over. So, anyways, I had to throw that out. So, I can't say nothing better. I got nothing. So, anyways, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to today's show. Come back next week. Fuck it. Prank call show next week. Or, I'm off Monday. Prank call show tomorrow. How's that? We do something serious, now we go with the comedy again, have some fun. So come back tomorrow, prank call show, have your phone numbers ready for me to fuck with the world. Anyways, like to thank Christy, Kaleo, Mike. Listen to Vinny Eastwood, the Vinny Eastwood Show. .com. That's the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. And if you can't spell that, then you're fucking retarded.
It's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as in, go ahead, make my news.
Yes. And if you listen to his show, he will send you pictures of his penis. So also go to Sleepy Salsa's blog, The Last Bastille. That's Bastille spelled BASTILLE.wordpress.com. The Last Bastille.com.
check him out. He's a fantastic writer. My blog, of course, you're on it if you're listening to it live, but if not, it's rantinglouisb.blogspot.com. Please feel free to use my Amazon link to help support me, get me some hostess cakes and, whatnot. I'm just kidding. Anyways.
He's not kidding.
Shit. Don't fucking blow up my spot, Vinny. I want some delicious hostess cakes, and the people won't get me hostess cakes if I just straight up ask for it, because they'll be like, well, I don't want to contribute to Louis diabetes. So anyways, this has been the Crowd Shot Radio Show, from my house to your house. Mahalo.
And that's the end of my show. Donk.